Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
After 5 years of Scott Brooks as the Wizards team head coach, Brooks's contract was up and the organization made the decision to move on from their coach of the last 5 years. Tommy Shepard is the team's general manager. He joins us now. Tommy, you know I always appreciate this. Thanks in advance, as always. I know you and Scott were good friends. And by the way, from a media perspective, or at least mine, I can speak for myself, a seemingly great guy and a first-class representative always, I think, for the franchise. With that understood, a few things specifically about the decision before we get to what's next. The first one is this. Was this exclusively your call?
Yes. I don't do it to myself. I don't say, guys, this is what I want to do. This is what we're doing. I take a whole lot of input. And I took a long time, we 2 weeks after the season to the day yesterday from when we were eliminated from Philly. It wasn't a decision that was made in a vacuum. It wasn't a decision made overnight. And easily the toughest decision I've faced so far as a GM, that right there with trading John Wall. It just, but what's done is done. We look forward. But I will say, Sky was a fantastic representative of the Wizards, certainly, but he's one of the finest people I've ever met in my life. Yeah. He's been a fantastic player. He was a fantastic coach, unbelievable pillar in the community. You know, when I think of Scotty, I remember when we got to the first year, and we get to the second round against Boston and how great that felt. And then I remember him shaving his head for charity during COVID. You know, he's about all the right things. He's a great person, and I'm really, really grateful to have worked with him.
So why the decision to move on?
You know, I think where we were at, we kind of reached this team has been, you know, the team that Scotty, when we signed him 5 years ago, was a team that was poised with Beal and Wall. We added Markieff. We had Gortat. We had a lot of pieces that team was really built to win now, and we took it out. And that first year, it looked like that's where it was headed, you know. And in the second year, we get back to the playoffs. We get eliminated in 6 in Toronto. Had some injuries, and then third and fourth year, you have no John Wall, and there was the only constant was change and lots of turmoil, and then I became the GM 2 seasons ago, so Scotty and I had a great baseline of working together, and last year we were very clear about our intentions. We wanted to install a culture here of high character, work ethic, and let's get after it. It doesn't come overnight, and those aren't just words on a T-shirt. You have to show it by works. And we moved a lot of players in and out, and Scotty was instrumental in helping establish that. And then we got to this season, and, you know, we had high expectations. In terms of internally, we felt, hey, we acquired Russell Westbrook. We have Bradley Beal. We have some young players, but we know the firepower of these guys. We should be able to make the playoffs, right? And when we say playoffs, we meant with the play-ins especially, he should be one of the top 10 teams in the East. And, you know, we just couldn't get out of the gate. We were 2-8. And then we ran into COVID, which was real, and that knocked us down for another month. And I said yesterday, Kevin, you know, it's like several acts in a very bizarre play. This season was all rolled into craziness. We hit our stride for a minute. We ran off, I think we were 7-1, and then we got into the All-Star break, and we came back 1-7. And then, you know, you get to the trade deadline, and it looked like pretty much this is going to be a difficult season, and you know, let's start playing young guys and looking at other things. And we were fortunate. We made a trade. We acquired an impact player, and all of a sudden the schedule became favorable to us. We go 17-6 and make the playoffs basically the last day of the season. We get in. We go up to Boston. That was a tough loss. But then we come back, thump Indiana, and now you're playing the best team in the East. And that crowning achievement, if you will, we did set one of our preseason goals was to make the playoffs. We did that. It's just that the way to get there, I don't think you could ever replicate that again. I wouldn't try it at home. And I would definitely tell you that projecting that forward as being that's really who we are, you know, we'll find out in time. But I think there's areas that we definitely can improve in, and that's where we're going to focus. But that's not taking anything away from that stretch. That stretch was real. It happened. And I'm very grateful for it. But you learn a lot in 5 years. I learned a lot in 2 years as a GM about where the NBA is headed and what it needs to be. Because we sat there, and it's great to make the playoffs. And then you look across and you go, oh, my God, we're playing Embiid and Simmons. Look at those guys they have over there. It's the MVP candidate, all defensive player. You know, like, we've got to get better. And we got to get better, certainly talent-wise, but we have to really map out how can we do this, how we can take down the top 3-4 teams in the East and be one of those teams. So that's kind of played into that decision for sure, and it's all a projection. But it wasn't a projection made with hope, and it wasn't – this whole change that we're making wasn't made overnight, and it was made by me.
Yeah, and, you know, just a little bit of sort of fan frustration coming out as you went through that. The final game, Embiid wasn't even on the floor, and it was still a tough night. You know, so you mentioned it wasn't exactly the way it was anticipated that it would evolve, which was not necessarily to Scott's benefit. But you're a basketball lifer. You're a junkie. You know the game so well. Specifically, Tommy, what were the things that the team lacked under Scott that for you had to change, like X's and O's wise?
I don't really want to go there, Kevin, because I think a lot of the stuff that we're doing moving forward is going to require me asking these hard questions of people that interview, and they're going to be listening, and they're going to try to figure out how to cater to what I'm looking for. I want to hear their vision of our team. But I think any team that plays us this year, this past season, saw that we didn't shoot the ball very well. That if you could get the ball out of Bradley's hands, double, triple team him, maybe we got too deep in the shot clock, and we took some suboptimal shots early in the shot clock, probably from mid-range. That if you eliminate those things, if you can control your controllables, sooner or later the ball's got to go in. But if it's not an optimal efficiency at both sides of the ball, I think those are the things, and that's not a knock on Scotty or the staff. It's just that's what our team lacked this year. How can you focus on those things? Because, you know, the one thing we definitely don't have is, like, you know, when the Warriors were carrying the O'Brien trophy around all the time, you know, everybody wanted to be Golden State after that. They're going to run this big wide open offense, but not everybody had Steph or Clay,
right,
or Draymond, right? And we don't have that. But what we do have, we have an all NBA backcourt with Bradley and Russell. We have some young, exciting athleticism amongst our, you know, with Daniel Gafford, Thomas Bryant, he gets back healthy with Rui. We think Denny's got potential. And then you splash in, you got Bertans. You know, that's kind of your core seven guys today. And you know, you look forward to plugging in pieces through free agency, through trade. Hopefully we can draft well. And then you kind of get more talent, and more talent gives more competition for minutes. But the areas that I think we got to focus on, we would say that if Scotty was here, if he wasn't here, is how do you get better? How do you optimize your offense, your defense? Because, you know, Scotty he's fourth in the league in ATOs. Those are the areas you can really grab points, and we were great there. And our pace was good. But when your efficiency struggles, you know, it's almost like you just ran a marathon and you go grab a case of beer and a box of chocolate. It cannibalizes itself. So what can we do better?
Yeah, I in listening to you answer that, you know, you did answer it a little bit, and I think it's just so spot on for anybody that's just watching. You know, with pace, it was fun, and it's at times looked easy. When the game slowed down and there was the ability to sort of double Bradley and really hedge, there wasn't always an answer. And you didn't even mention defense, but I would imagine among the hard questions that you're going to ask the people that you interview is, you know, something that leads to better production defensively, right?
Yeah, and I think that's to go from 29th to 19th, that's one possession a game. You have to be better. And so go from 19th to 10th, it's about 1.5 possessions per game. But if it was so easy, why can't everybody do it? You know, I think one thing that definitely was an obstacle, but it's for every single team in the NBA, was the lack of practice is really – it's right. So critical when you have young players especially. We can talk about tonight's game plan, and you understand we're going to do, you know, a triple switch here. We're going to do these base defenses, how we're going to run the pick and roll. But when you have to go out and actually execute it, you know, game plans get burnt up pretty quick. If you don't have those repetitions in practice and you're not able to go at full speed in practice, it's hard to replicate NBA players. So you're out there on the floor trying to figure them out and guard them. And oh, by the way, you know, like you said, when we're measuring ourselves where we got to go, we don't have the ability to guard a Giannis or Kawhi or the big Embiid straight up. So you got to figure out different ways. And that's something we're going to continue to address talent-wise, but certainly I think execution-wise, that's going to be the big responsibility for the next head coach.
And I also think, Tommy, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, less ISO, more making a defense work and move helps you defensively on the other end.
Well, without a question. It's proven the more passes you can do offensively, you know, the better your efficiency there is, and certainly it puts a lot more pressure on the defense. You bail a defense out if it's one pass shot. So if you could really get that ball moving and force the other team to get into second side, third side, they're making you move around and stuff, that's only going to take a drag of their energy at the other end.
Exactly.
And that's a given. So I agree with you. You're not wrong. So there you have it.
So we're talking to Tommy Shepard, the Wizards GM. The reporting on this yesterday from a very reliable Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN was that the two sides failed to come to an agreement. Was there a deal, Tommy, that if Scott had taken, he'd still be the head coach?
No, it never got that far. It just comes up, and, you know, we discussed everything for a long time. 2 weeks is a long time. And we went through exit interviews. We went through processes. And you answer these things, Kevin, with an open mind. And I had 4 or 5 different options. If Scotty stays, is there a hybrid staff? Is there different things that we can do? And talking through it, and you realize what's possible, what's not possible, and you have to make a decision. So I would never say, hey, we weren't, but it was like the day after the season I knew Scotty was gone, or the day after the season I really wanted to keep him and we're going to make these concessions or any of that. None of that. That's why you go through a very thorough process.
Okay.
And you include a lot of people. So I think the decision was made, it was certainly myself, but I consulted with a lot of people. And I think at the end of the day, hey, we will find out, right? Everybody feels great the first day of a decision, and then there's the next 364 after that.
So
decision for us.
Just to confirm, you know, this wasn't a situation where there was an offer on the table and it wasn't an offer that you guys could agree on either way. This was not, there was never an offer made to Scott to stay. Just to confirm.
No, there's conversation. There's always conversation, but there was no offer made.
Okay. You know, there was this thought all along, and maybe it was just a fan thought, that Russell Westbrook's relationship with Scott Brooks, that his input would be a factor in the organization's decision on Scott. Was it?
Certainly. I respect Russell. I hear his words, and he's a professional. You know, if it comes down to, I mean, our fans accusing Russell wouldn't play hard if Scotty wasn't the coach. I mean, the guy was the MVP under a different coach in Oklahoma
City.
Yeah. He was all NBA and a different coach in Houston. So I don't know where that goes. I understand players have preferences and they're always going to speak their mind. But at the end of the day, you're talking about a Hall of Fame player that has a track record of every single night he straps it on and brings the gas. So I don't know where that would come from. Like, what does that mean? If, you know, if this is Russell's guy, right, and he says, I'm not going to play without him, he would never do that. You know, the professionalism that he's brought to this organization is unparalleled. He's brought Bradley Beal. You know, this was the best season of Bradley's career in so many marks. And it's no coincidence that Russell was part of that. And I think those two together, building forward, I think, you know, there's a lot of, put it this way, my voicemail is full. I've got more than 300 texts I got to return from people that are very interested in the situation here because of those guys.
But you did, you went to both Westbrook and Beal and sought their opinion on the coaching decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just, it's not like, hey, what do you guys think? Should I do this or this? No, but what do we need to get better? And their thoughts do matter because they have to go through it every day. But they, you know, it's like I say, everybody has, I want people to have a say, but not everybody's going to have a vote. But to not ask their opinion, think about that, to not ask their input, they're stakeholders in this. You know, there are two franchise cornerstone guys. We built this team around Bradley. The first huge acquisition we had was to bring Russell in. And we saw some results there, and we expect better in the future. So I just am a big collaborator, Kevin. I'd like to know what people think and where they think we can get better. And the only way you're going to do that is to ask the hard questions and be prepared for the feedback.
You know, it's not a cursory.
I think it's time to move on. You know, I think they both certainly, they were very, you know, I think they have a great deal of gratitude for Scotty. But I think they've been in the NBA. You know, Bradley played for Randy Whitman before this. Russell's played for other coaches. It's a business. They understand, and we move on. We've had different teammates. It's a difficult part of that to separate the personal from the professional, but we've all done it. We all continue to have to do it. The only constant is change.
We are talking to Tommy Shepard, the Wizards general manager. You know, when you got the GM job, and I think a lot of us who are really big fans of the team, you know, we're happy for you. And, you know, one of the conversations I had a couple of times with various people is, you know, Tommy's going to want to hire his own coach at some point. He's not only had this opportunity to mold the roster, and we've watched as character and things that may not have been as important in the past are very important to you. And so you've started to mold this roster in your vision. But was getting a chance to pick your own head coach always part of this once you got the job?
No, because if it's what's working, don't, you know what they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, certainly I would, if I thought what we were doing would be replicable to success down the road, you don't get interfere with that. I had to make the decision based on a lot of key markers that we have to evaluate. And we run through data, certainly, but we also run through a lot of film and we run through a lot of interviews. And that's kind of where it was. That's not what drives me, is it has to be my person, not at all. But what you do is you got to figure out, okay, what's the best for the future? You know, and I've been through this, you know, with the Wizards. I've been there for a long time. From when I got here, Eddie Jordan had already been hired. Ernie came after Eddie, actually. And I saw that dynamic. And then I saw when you rush into a hire, we knew Flip Saunders was going to be top of our list. And then when we moved Flip on, Randy was the interim, and then all of a sudden Randy showed, hey, he can do this job, and he took off and took it and ran with it. The following seasons we were successful, and that kind of had its run. So then Scotty was at the top of our list for a team that doesn't even appear anymore. Bradley Beal is the only person left from that era.
Right.
So times change,
and right, so
I'm trying to adapt
for?
With that.
What are you looking for in this next head coach?
You know, it's going to be somebody that's real familiar, I believe, with the NBA game. It doesn't mean they have to be in the NBA or had to play in the NBA, but somebody that's really familiar right now with the game is the game. It always has been. But the modern NBA, the ability to really maximize every possession and control your controllables. And I'm not going to say don't do anything dumb, because stuff happens every single night that you can't control. But can you put yourself in the best positions to win every night? Can you look back and say, you know what, we ran the right plays. We were in position to get the right stop, and sometimes that damn ball just doesn't go in, or sometimes it goes in against you, right? But can you just play every single night an intelligent brand where you're removing a lot of things that would put you in bad position? I think that's where you really, you know, along the margins in the NBA is where you're going to get the most gains, actually. Because until you have the top MVP player on your team every year, and you know that team's a legit title contender, you have to figure out ways to grab all the inches you can to get yourself in that position. And I look at the teams that are still standing. You know, I use Phoenix as an example. They were outside the NBA for quite some time, and then you acquire a player like Chris Paul, and now they're in the conference finals equation. Well, Russell Westbrook is here now, and I think Bradley is a supreme player. He's all NBA this year, but he could use that kind of help from Russell, like Chris Paul gave to Book. You know, so those kinds of parallels are there. We're not comparing the talent. I'm just saying there's an example where one player can be a huge change agent, and then you can add more pieces. But you know, sometimes really good players can make average players pretty good. I'm not great with adjectives, but you can yeah. level up your performance if you're playing with superior players, and we see that. You know, I look at Rui, and I'm glad, Kevin, we went through this experience of going through the playoffs. It hurt getting your butt kicked a little bit, but I look and I saw Rui shoot 60% from the floor, 61 from three. He averaged above his season averages. I think he was at 14-7-7. So that was a great experience no matter what. Even if you're getting cooked by Simmons in the post, even if you got run over by Embiid, those are scars. So next time we go to play the playoffs, it's not his first time. That's a big
I wish
thing,
he had shot
you know,
more.
No matter what.
I thought he passed on way too many looks. But you're right. The experience, obviously. I it's always interesting that conversation that sports fans have. We shouldn't be in the playoffs because we can't go anywhere. We should get a lottery pick versus the experience, especially when you have young players, of actually playing in games that matter. And you know this more than anybody. The postseason in your sport's completely different than the regular season.
Oh, this year in particular, you know, the MVP is going to be who has the best medical staff. I mean, if you're in the playoffs, you have a legitimate chance every night. You never know what's going to happen. The game that we won, you know, Big Joel got hurt in, yeah. left the court, and that was a difference maker, let's be honest. But then the next game, he didn't play, and we lost. So then you look over last night, hey, what's the logic? You got the Clippers. They don't have Kawhi. Certainly Utah's going to just pound them, and look what happens. You know, and then the other series, someone's up 26 going in. You know, it's a cruel game, but you just never know. But you will never know if you're not in the game. If you don't get to the playoffs, you're not giving yourself that chance. And you're giving Bradley another year without the playoffs. You're giving Russell another year. You know, that's I owe to those players to give them the best chance to get to the playoffs, because that's where your careers are made, really. The regular season, there's regular season players, and there's guys who do it in the playoffs, and they're not the same people.
Per usual, I feel like I could go on for another half hour with you, but I have 30 seconds, and there are two more questions I want to get in. Number one, you said something about what you'd be looking for, and I think if I heard you correctly, you know, it didn't necessarily mean that they've got direct NBA experience. Is a college coach a possibility?
Yeah, a college coach, an international coach, people who haven't coached at all. You know, you look at who's still standing in the finals. There's a guy who never had any coaching experience, and his team's doing pretty darn well. There's a guy who's a lifer who never played in the NBA. There's a guy who played in the NBA, was a broadcaster before he was a coach. So you can come from anywhere, you know, and I think the diversity is a given. We are going to be very, in this search, very thorough. We're going to be very inclusive. We're not going to, you know, and I say the best person for a reason. You know, we're going to interview a lot of people, and we want to see what people think of this team and how they can make us better. And give them every chance to impress us, and then we'll make our decision.
You already said that, you know, you, in this day and age, and you are a collaborator, that you went to your two-star players about the current situation. Will you seek their input on the next hire, Beal and Westbrook?
Certainly. No, actually, like I said before, they're stakeholders. And, you know, you want to make sure it's not an arranged marriage. We want everybody to know each other and see what they're about. I think there's a part of this interview process that has to happen before we get to that. Maybe you get down to the last few finalists. But I think I would think any head coach candidate would want to talk to those guys before taking the job as well.
And that would
lead me to believe, I think it's our responsibility.
That would just lead me to believe that, you know, you don't see there's any future over the next several years without Bradley in it.
Well, I sure hope not. That would be a tough one, but you know, we deal with where we're at. I know since day one, Bradley and I, you know, when he walked in as a 19-year-old, and his whole wardrobe would fit in one suitcase, and now it fits in several houses. Like I've watched Bradley grow up, I've seen him become a father, I've seen all the things about him, And, you know, I really believe firmly that he's a player you build around. And we extended him before Kevin when no one thought we could. All I can do is it's all judged by works. So I show him the body of work that we've done in 2 years, and I think it lines up with what I told him would happen, and we continue to do that. But you have to earn equity every single day by what you do, not by what you say.
I love it. Wardrobe growth to reflect increased affluence. Perfectly said. I really appreciate the time. As always, good luck with this process. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, my brother. Take care.
All right. Tommy Shepard, everybody. Window Nation, great offer right now. Invest in yourself. Invest in your home with the deal of the summer. Get a vacation voucher with the purchase of a house of windows from Window Nation. You'll be able to go wherever you want to go. Plus, you get 2 free windows with every 2 you buy, and you'll pay nothing for 24 months. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you. Buy 2 windows, get 2 free. No money down, no payments, no interest for 2 full years. And if you buy a house of windows, you get a vacation voucher. I promise you, you will not be disappointed if you call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. Stay tuned. Travis Thomas is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.